Chapter 53 of the Reception of Guests. Let all guests who arrive be received as Christ, because he will say, I was a stranger, and you took me in. And let due honor be shown to all, especially to those of the household of the faith, and to wayfarers. When, therefore, a guest is announced, let him be met by the superior and the brethren with every mark of charity, and let them first pray together, and then let them associate with one another in peace. This kiss of peace should not be given before a prayer hath first been said, on account of satanic deception. In the greeting, let all humility be shown to the guests, whether coming or going, with the head bowed down or the whole body prostrate on the ground. Let Christ be adored in them as he is also received. When the guests have been received, let them be accompanied to prayer. And after that, let the superior, or whom he shall bid, sit down with them. Let the divine law be read to the guest that he may be edified, after which let every kindness be shown him. Let the fast be broken by the superior in deference to the guest, unless, perchance, it be a day of solemn fast, which cannot be broken. Let the brethren, however, keep the customary fast. Let the abbot pour the water on the guest's hands, and let both the abbot and the whole brotherhood wash the feet of all the guests. When they have been washed, let them say this verse, We have received thy mercy, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Let the greatest care be taken, especially in the reception of the poor and travelers, because Christ is received more specially in them, whereas regard for the wealthy itself procureth them respect. Let the kitchen of the abbot and the guests be apart, that the brethren may not be disturbed by the guests who arrive at uncertain times and who are never wanting in the monastery. Let two brothers who are able to fulfill this office well go into the kitchen for a year. Let help be given them as they need it, that they may serve without murmuring, and when they have not enough to do, let them go out again for work where it is commanded them. Let this course be followed not only in this office, but in all the offices of the monastery, that whenever the brethren need help, it be given them, and that when they have nothing to do, they again obey orders. Moreover, let also a God-fearing brother have assigned to him the apartment of the guests, where there should be sufficient number of beds made up, and let the house of God be wisely managed by the wise. On no account let anyone who is not ordered to do so associate or speak with guests. But if he meet or see them, having saluted them humbly, as we may have said, and asked a blessing, let him pass on saying that he is not allowed to speak with a guest. Chapter 54. Whether a monk should receive letters or anything else. Let it not be allowed at all for a monk to give or to receive letters, tokens, or gifts of any kind, either from parents or any other person, nor from each other, without the permission of the abbot. But even if anything is sent him by his parents, let him not presume to accept it before it hath been made known to the abbot. And if he order it to be accepted, let it be in the abbot's power to give it to whom he pleaseth. And let not the brother to whom perchance it was sent become sad, that no chance be given to the devil. But whosoever shall presume to act otherwise, let him fall under the discipline of the rule. Chapter 55 of the Clothing and the Footgear of the Brethren. Let clothing be given to the brethren according to the circumstances of the place and the nature of the climate in which they live, because in cold regions more is needed, while in warm regions less. This consideration, therefore, resteth with the abbot. We believe, however, that for a temperate climate, a cowl and a tunic for each monk are sufficient, a woolen cowl for winter, and a thin or worn one for summer, and a scapular for work, and stockings and shoes as covering for the feet. Let the monks not worry about the color or the texture of all these things, but let them be such as can be bought more cheaply. Let the abbot, however, look to the size, that these garments are not too small, but fitted for those who are to wear them. Let those who receive new clothes always return the old ones, to be put away in the wardrobe for the poor. For it is sufficient for a monk to have two tunics and two cowls, for wearing at night and for washing. Hence what is over and above is superfluous and must be taken away. So too let them return stockings and whatever is old when they receive anything new. Let those who are sent out on a journey receive trousers from the wardrobe, which, on their return, they will replace them there, washed. The cowls and the tunics should also be a little better than the ones they usually wear, which they receive from the wardrobe when they set out on a journey, and give them back when they return. For their bedding, let a straw mattress, a blanket, a coverlet, and a pillow be sufficient. These beds must, however, be frequently examined by the abbot to prevent personal goods from being found. And if anything should be found with anyone that he did not receive from the abbot, let him fall under the severest discipline. And that this vice of private ownership may be cut off by the root, let everything necessary be given by the abbot, namely, cowl, tunic, stockings, shoes, girdle, knife, pen, needle, towel, writing tablet, that all pretense of want may be removed. In this connection, however, let the following sentence from the Acts of the Apostles always be kept in mind by the abbot. And distribution was made to every man according as he had need. In this manner, therefore, let the abbot also have regard for the infirmities of the needy, not for the bad will of the envious. Yet in all his decisions, let the abbot think of God's retribution.